extent of the engagement and the extent of the work. It's rather whimsical, or not whimsical.
They refuse to give you the information, or what?
No, they have provided a certain amount of work product to our attorneys, and that's being evaluated, but it certainly does not reflect the kind of work product that one might expect when you see a bill of $230,000. So that process is still going on, but I can... Lessa, you may add, do you want to add anything to that?
My understanding is that they have yet to produce a document that indicates that the Pacifica Foundation hired them or engaged them. So, you know, without that, I'm not a lawyer. Thank God. Anyway, I'm not a lawyer. But it seems to me, without them producing some document that shows that we hire them and therefore owe them money, they have, you know, less than a leg to stand on. So, I don't know how the lawyers will deal with that. But one of the interesting questions, of course, then, who did hire them? Was it one of the other law firms? Was it the public relations firm? You know, how did they get in the mix here is something that I personally, you know, would be very interested in understanding. Really.
Listen, my understanding that I think Betsy hired them. I suppose they hired them, I think.
Well, they have not produced a document with any signature from a Pacifica representative that says we hired them, or the foundation hired them.
You're listening to the Interim Pacifica National Board meeting on WPFW in Washington, D.C., WBAI in New York, KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA in Berkeley, KPFB in Berkeley, and KFCF in Fresno.
James Berkeley.
Law firm that we hired to look into the negotiations, are they still on our payroll? Or?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Now, we had a cap of $50,000 for them.
Actually, the cap was up to 75, and within the last 2 weeks, informed Jabari, the treasurer of the board, to call another finance committee meeting as soon as practical to get new authorization from the finance committee, if necessary, to extend that cap. But we are approaching that mark of 75 with the new law firm.
Okay. Also, we have... a few outstanding severance packages that are still, I guess, dangling out there. What's the status of them?
Dave, do you want to... How do we handle that?
Well, there are a number of situations relating to personnel matters, which I intend to report on during the personnel committee reports tomorrow. And so if we can wait till then we can deal with those issues at that time.
Sure.
Or I can jump ahead and do it now.
I'd rather wait, because we are now, you know, getting later and later in this agenda. So we do have the time for that tomorrow. So if we could move...
May I ask the board to suggest to Dan, it seems on this intelligence contract, until they produce a document showed who hired them, we won't have to take up the lawyer's time arguing with him about anything. Just say, if you can't produce it, we're not going to have a further discussion. That would cut down on the fees.
I will communicate that with pleasure.
Okay. I don't know that we need a motion of the board on that. I think that people...
It's unanimous.
I think people agree with you, Marion. Thank you very much. So let's move on. One of the pieces of work that Dan referred to was the work by Pete Karakis on the website. So Pete is here with us today, and he's dropped in front of our places here some material. And then for those of you who are in the room, he's got some stuff posted here. Obviously, this is going to be hard for those of you listening on the radio or through the web streaming, but hopefully you'll understand what's going on.
Online. If you're listening online, go to pacifica.org/Houston Meeting, all lowercase, Houston Meeting, and you'll see these documents.
Okay, great. So, Pete.
Okay, I want to be very brief. For those that are interested in the website and you do have web access, again, go to pacifica.org/Houston Meeting, and you can get these documents. For folks in here who want to follow with the visual aids, there are about 20 seats here with the documents laid out, so you can move on over. Okay. Give you folks a minute. Okay, I want to briefly give a little background about the site. Pacifica.org has existed for about 6-7 years. It's a fairly large site. It has over 2,800 web pages, over 5,100 web files. It's fairly large for one person to maintain, and that's why it's been a little slow to get rebuilt. For all those that have emailed me in the last 6-7 months, thank you for your patience. Okay. Ultimately, in the big picture scheme of things, why I thought it was important to address this issue as soon as possible with you folks was because I've met with some of the web workers on the official sites and some of the unofficial sites, and the Pacifica.org site is going through a complete transformation. It essentially is a site now that emulates the national office. You can go to the site, you can get tax information, you can go to the site and get contact information, that sort of thing. The end result, when the final phase is finished of the new Pacifica.org, the site will emulate the network itself in that it won't contain simply information you can get at the national office. In addition, it will contain the content, the information that the producers do 24 hours a day times five, you know, in the five stations that we have. Now, this site's not currently at this level, but 6-7 months on the line, that's where we should be. And so that's the main thing I want to address here. Currently, on the 12th of September, I launched the new Pacifica site, which in the process I took down the entire old site. These documents here illustrate show the new website. I'm going to go over them in a couple of minutes. The most important thing, aside from the aesthetics and how this site looks, is behind the scenes for me in terms of how this information is organized and how it's presented to you folks, the listening and the viewing audience. One thing that was interesting was that when I took over the site, I noticed that there seemed to be almost like the person seemed to be determined to make the site difficult to use on the front end. And on the back end, this person was not really interested in maintaining this for long term, I don't think, because one of the most basic files, if you work on the web, is called a log file. It is the most important file to you, because it gives you the information as to who visits your site, how long they're visiting your site, where they're coming from, what search engine they're using, what words they're searching to get to your site, etc. The previous web worker wasn't even maintaining this. So one of the first things I did was start maintaining this log, and now 6-7 months later, I have some data that I can look at and say, okay, these are the patterns. This is what people are using our site for. And I want to briefly go into that. There are two types of folks that generally visit our site. It's the folks that are probably listening right now that are in this room. It's the Pacifica hardcore. And they visit the site. They want to know financial information. They want to read the bylaws, the usual things that we're very familiar with. There's a second type of person that visits our website, which without these log files, we never would have known. And these are folks that are visiting our site all over the world, from all over the world. They're coming to our site from search engines, and they're not typing in Free Speech or Pacifica or Community Radio, but rather they're typing in Che Guevara, they're typing in Cuba, they're typing in Nigeria. They're coming to our site for content, you know, and this is really the crux of why the site's being revamped. Okay, so I want to just briefly touch on what has been done. That was a little bit about the big picture and where we're going. What has been done is all 2,800 web pages have been looked at, have been reorganized, and the data has been categorized in eight logical directories, which you can see on the documentation, on the printed documents, on the second sheet. And I've taken those eight main directories, and I've further categorized them into three. Being the main category is information about the network. you note these pages on the website currently, you know that you're on one of these pages when the header is green at the very top, where it says Pacifica Radio. If you're at a web page with a green header, you're looking at information about the network, whether it's about the sister stations, about the affiliates, or about the programming itself. The bulk of the pages on the site are of these nature, these green pages. They are archives from Pacifica National News and archives from Democracy Now! Going back to 1996. In fact, the largest archive available online of Democracy Now! Is at Pacifica.org. And though not all of the archives have been renovated yet, have been rebuilt yet, the oldest ones have. I purposely started with the oldest because they're not available anywhere but at Pacifica.org, specifically early 96 to late 97. So that would cover this first set here, these green type pages. The second section here is with the olive header, and this is information about the network. As I said earlier, the folks, the Pacifica hardcore that come to our site, this is what they're most interested in. In this section here, again, on the second page on the right, the categories are finance, about us, Pacifica news and governance, and beneath those four categories, you'll see what follows. It's a fairly logical order. It's not really anything I want to go over step by step, but what is important is that this kind of logic wasn't applied in the past, making it difficult to find information. Again, you know, if you work on the web, there's no reason for me to say that this was an accident. This, I think, was by design, and that information was difficult to find purposefully, which is unfortunate. The final category is with a gray header, and it's web pages where you can interact, where you, the end user, Jane and Joe Web Surfer, can interact with the network, whether it's put in for volunteer hours, given some support donations, or contacting the board, contacting the national staff, or any other web workers. These are ways that you can interact back and forth. And coming soon in this gray area is going to be a bulletin board where folks can engage in a constant dialogue. It will not be unmoderated. It will be moderated because we have plenty of bulletin boards within the Pacifica Foundation, and we know what they look like unmoderated. Okay.
Adventure.
Okay. One of the most important things, aside from reorganizing the information, is correcting and updating links. A site that's 2,800 web pages has a substantial amount of links. Specifically, in February of 2002, when I took over the site, and these figures are at the back of the printed report. The printed report will be uploaded at /Houston Meeting later tonight. That is not there now. But at the back of the printed report, you'll see that there are over 95,000 links, close to 96,000 links on the website. All of these have to be checked one at a time. There are 51,000 internal links that reference other pages within the site. Those are easier to check, but nonetheless, those two have to be checked one at a time. Of the 51,000 internal links, 26,500 of them were broken when I took over the site. It's 24,500 were broken links. Yeah. So it's about half of the links that were internal were broken, and of the external links, it's more than half because it's maybe links that were created in 96, 97 to specific pages that have since moved, and no one went back to look them over. Now, that's a big problem because when you're online, the most frustrating thing is trying to find something, clicking, and you go, and it's not there. Because of that, one thing I noticed with the log files and in looking at the traffic, I don't think that the network gets the traffic it should, and I think it's because for years this site, as it's known, that it's just not an up-to-date site. So one thing I want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to let the listeners know, please come back to Pacifica.org. There's a heck of a lot more information, and it's organized, and you can find it, and there's more coming. So another thing is built-in scalability. When you redo a site, you want to take into account that there's going to be new information coming out and try to figure out a logical way to incorporate it, even though, you know, you don't have to know what it is. You just have to be able to anticipate. Again, this was not done. For a media network like Pacifica that's 50 years old, it's really unacceptable what the site looked like. And not just what it looked like, in terms of how it was presented in the past. And so that's one thing I did want to address. Another major renovation that's being built into this new site is making the site more user-friendly. Everyone hears that word. You know, some may sound frivolous to some, but it's very important. User-friendly simply means it's functionally correct, it's efficient to use, It's easy to learn and remember. These things, again, sound very basic, but if it's not done, you know, the end result is very obvious. We've all been to websites that take you nowhere. This new site here, no matter where you drop in on, if you come in on a search engine to a Democracy Now! Archive page, it's chock full of links that are current, that work, that take you to the correct donate page, that take you to Pacifica Radio Archives. In addition, if we look at the second page on the left of the document, for those looking online, it's page 3 of that downloadable PDF. If you look at what's inside the newpacifica.org, the bulk of the pages look like this, with the exception of the color scheme. You should have that in your documents.
It's hard to describe on radio.
One of the new features built into the newpacifica.org on the very right-hand column here is a gray area. This area here is a new place for special items. I'm very excited about this because I use this as an example here. This is a bylaws page. I know it may be old as of after this weekend, but for the last couple of weeks, this is what you would see. When you get to any governance-related page, the right-hand column here gives you a simple three-step process how to get involved with our bylaws revision process. Step 1, read the drafts with links. Step 2, send in your comments and read other comments with links. And step 3, go to the local bylaws meetings, again, with a link to the local meeting information. Every governance page had this within the gray column. I can customize this and change this by changing one source page. I can change all the governance pages. Similarly, again, our archive pages in this area here be good to link to maybe Pacifica Radio Archives. Ultimately, what I want to show here with this particular diagram is that within this new site, a lot of new features were built in that allows us to bring in new listeners, bring in new online listeners, and then hook them into the network with whatever is logical. You know, if they're coming in for programming, hook them in with archive programming. If they're coming in for governance, hook them in with governance information, etc. I'm kind of going backwards with the diagrams, but there's kind of a reason. It's pages 3 and 4 kind of are the breadth of the site. Pages 1 and 2, or if you have the wide printout, it's just the first sheet, is the home page. The home page I put the most focus on, and it's because it gets by far the most traffic on the website. In the month of August, the last full month of the data that we have, the website got 81,500 visitors. I'm sorry, visited pages. Total of 81,500 pages were visited in that month. Of those 81,500, almost 28,000 just came to this homepage. So that's about a third, or better than a third, are coming to this site here alone, this page here alone. And if you look at the second diagram, it shows the evolution of the homepage and see what has gone into it. There's a little dotted red line across this diagram here on the evolution of the homepage. The significance of that dotted red line is above that red line is what's called the top fold in a newspaper. That's the most important real estate space, right, on any newspaper. Similarly, a website has that same problem. As you can see from our data, because a third of our visitors don't get past our homepage, the significance of our homepage is obvious, I think. The significance of the top fold is very important when you think about a lot of folks. They're new to the web, don't even know how to link, how to scroll, etc. What I've done here is put in the top fold of the new homepage the 6 most visited directories of these 8 main directories are added at the very top right. In addition, I've added banners. I've added 2 fixed spaces for mini banners so we can promote events. Again, this is having some foresight. We may not have an event to promote today, but we always have something to promote long term. There should be a fixed space for these things on the site. There never was. So that's that. One other important thing about making a site user-friendly is making the site error-tolerant. I want to briefly touch on this because this may have affected folks listening right now. The website back in February and March had 3 different donate pages. This is very bad. The end user that went to these donate pages didn't know that they were putting in information that was going nowhere. Now, this information isn't going into the hands of somebody that can do something with it. Fortunately, I've looked into this, And specifically, there's one page on IGC.org, which was a former host of ours. So many people were going to old PNN or Democracy Now! Archives who are not familiar with the network. And the bottom says, donate here. And they would click there and put their information. And this information went off into, you know, the Internet, into space. Again, fortunately, no one is compiling this, so your information isn't in the wrong hands. But unfortunately, it isn't in the right hands. And so... And so what I've done is take down all those pages with the old links, and all the new pages have the correct information. One of the things about having a user-friendly site is, as I said, user-friendly and error-tolerant, and that's this here. Another example is the guy had a guest book where you would go and with good faith put in your email and say, I want to sign up to a guest book or even a mailing list to get email. They were both available, and neither actually worked. So you would get there, you would fill out the form with good faith that something's going to happen, and you would get nothing back. This is why folks stop coming to our site. You know, this is a very bad thing on the web. So, again, you know, these kind of errors were taken out. The last main upgrade that's being built into this whole redevelopment of the site is marketing the site better. And by marketing the site better, I already touched on the log files and monitoring traffic. It is by far the most important part of maintaining a website. If you don't know who's visiting your site, what they're coming to your site for, and what they're getting out of your site by looking at how many minutes they're spending on a page. For example, the amount of time people are spending on each page since February has gone up about 20%. Which tells me people are slowly realizing that there's more content here and they're staying and they're reading, which is a good sign. In terms of marketing the site better, another way is to use search engines. When I would build sites in the past for clients, I would have a local shoe guy tell me I want to be number one for shoes, and it would be very difficult to compete with the many big shoe providers, and it would be very difficult for me to explain to this local Joe Shoe store that that's not how it works with search engines. Mm-hmm. I couldn't ask for a better scenario here as a web worker, because in terms of content, you know, we are king. Pacifica generates independent news like nobody else does. And, right? And so there's no reason why, and the search engines know this, and that's why they have indexed our old pages. It's unfortunate our old pages are chock full of broken links and don't hook you into the website. But nonetheless, the search engines are rewarding us because we have that content. 6-7 months down the line, when this new site is up and 5 stations wide, our producers can use this site, there's no question in my mind that these search engines are going to pick us up, you know, significantly. We may be at the top link for alternative media, et cetera. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be. Okay, so the last way to market the site better, it's very, very brief, it's not mentioned here, is email. I will say it because Pete Bramson asked me to address this briefly, is email. Email at pacifica.org. Every staff person, every board person, everyone affiliated with the network officially should have email at pacifica.org. Why? Because instead of advertising Hotmail or Yahoo or AOL, you advertise our website. In addition, for example, the staff and the board members, you folks I can set you up with an email at pacifica.org that forwards to your AOL or Hotmail or Yahoo Mail, and you folks and the public don't get to see the real email. You get to see a pacifica.org email, which is fine, which is the norm, you know, which is what most organizations do on their website. They have email at their domain for their board, and it forwards to their personal email. So that's another thing that I'm trying to push on. If you guys get emails from me on the staff and on the board side, and you're saying, why is this guy harassing me for email? It is important. If you do use email and you use Pacifica, and you're sending Pacifica related email, use your Pacifica email address. Okay, so that's it. I mean, what's the potential for Pacifica online? The potential is tremendous. You know, I want Pacifica.org to be my homepage, and it is now because I work on it, but I want it to be my homepage because of the information. I want to tell my friends that if you want to find information online, you go to Pacifica.org. There's no reason why our site shouldn't be the preeminent independent media portal online, bar none. Independent IndieMedia.org, for example, is one. If I may briefly touch on this, IndieMedia does a great job of generating content, but does a poor job of displaying it to the web world because it's cut up. I have to go to 2 Greek sites to read Greek news, Athens.indymedia and Thessaloniki.indymedia. Greece is not that big, you know. So They should consolidate. They don't do a good job of consolidating their news. And here in the States, there's 60-some-odd indie media sites. You know, how we can just quickly step over that is with one site, we bring in five stations' content and, you know, consolidate into one site. You just can't beat that. So that's, I mean, the crux of what I wanted to say is that we know that the potential is there. We're working on it. And I just wanted you folks to know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you a lot.
This is WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, D.C., KPFK in Los Angeles, KPFA in Berkeley, KPFB in Berkeley, and KFCF in Fresno.
Know all that he's been doing. And so, you know, thank you so much, not only for sharing this information with us, but most importantly for doing this work. We do have time for a few questions. And actually, I just had two quick questions, if I might start. One is, Pete, and you don't have to do it now, but I know I'm a little confused about how I have my own email address, you know, but how to... You said I should send out email from Pacifica.org.
Give me a call.
We need some technical assistance,
yeah,
probably, as board members and maybe staff members to set it up so it works right. But the other question that maybe you could briefly comment on is we know that all five stations have websites, and what work have you begun to do or planning to do in terms of coordination with those other sites?
Great. There was an initial conference call between the official website workers of the local five sites and myself. I haven't done a good job following up. I will take the blame for that, and it's because of the workload, frankly. But we did lay out a good groundwork, I think, a good foundation for going forward. And to go back to what I said about indie media, what's important about, I think, the plan about moving that we have here at Pacifica moving forward online, we've taken that into account. The local Pacifica sites have a role. The local Pacifica sites can offer the online community information about local events, about the producers, about the shows. There's a lot of information that the sites can offer, but the content regarding the actual programming, I think, does belong in the Pacifica.org site. And so, yes, we have been discussing. We haven't worked together a lot, but we've discussed big picture kind of what goes where along those lines. Like, so the information in terms of the content that we generate, the logic behind putting it in one site is because it makes it easier for Jane Web user who doesn't know Pacifica to get to a site and find it all under one umbrella. Rather than having to search Nigeria at five different sites, she can go to Pacifica. Of course, the local sites, once this is built, can access that same database of information. The local, the BAI site, the A, the T site can link to this search, and then you can search five stations wide within T or within A. So the concept is to keep the information together, but to organize it in a way that it makes sense. So together, in a sense, all under the Pacific umbrella. You know, we're not trying to...
Right.
Yeah.
Leslie, I have a question.
Yes, James.
You're obviously very smart.
James Ferguson.
So I'll ask my questions based on that. We have a meta tag that connects us to the search engines, correct? Would that meta tag be tied into the other websites
Well, their meta tags is one of the many ways that search engines index or find your content.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, you can't BS the search engines. Meta tags do work, and I have been very effective with them for sites that may not deserve a 12 or 8 ranking when they got a 12 or 8 ranking on the various boards. Yeah, meta tags will be incorporated into this, but most importantly, it's the content that we generate that will get us where we want in search engines. It's not the meta tags. It truly is content.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I wanted to take on, and it's a little slow going on, is to bring in folks to write about specific issues. For example, free speech is something we connect with Pacifica. However, if you search free speech, you're not going to find Pacifica.org. Why? Because there's not a single page that addresses free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And so to get search engine relevancy rankings in these areas, we need to go out and find folks to write about free speech. Maybe we can get Matthew Lazar or I don't know whom, you know, to write Cornel West, to write about the importance of free speech in today, since September 11th. then that page will be indexed, and that page will beat any meta tag.
Okay.
Yeah. So that so we're trying to really build this in with real content, and you know, we're in a position where we can.
Second question relates to the links. How many links do we have?
As the report says here, the site had about 96,000 links. It's a fairly broad, it's a very big site with a big range of information and a lot of links, yeah.
But you said half of them weren't connected?
96,000 total. There were 51,000 internal that link within the Pacifica site to take you from one place, the .org, to another. Of those 51,000, about half were broken.
Okay, and the last question I have is, the folks who contact us, however they do it, are we capturing information about them?
The folks that contact us mean that they visit our website?
We're correct.
Well, these log files take specific information. They track to the millisecond the IP address, which is the only way we can identify someone on the web. It gives you the IP address of the person who got to your site, what page they looked at, where they came from, and where they went next. And all those have times associated, so you do the math, when they got there and when they went next, and you determine how much time they spent on your site. You look at where they came from, whether it's a search engine or other web pages or other websites in general, where they went. All this information is available.
Can
but
we,
you don't know specifically, you know, James Ferguson went here. No.
Can we organize around that?
Can we organize around that? Well, a lot of the thinking behind the reorganizing of this content for me was looking at that data, was first capturing the data because it wasn't being captured, giving it a few months so I can see the pattern, and then I looked at that pattern, and that's when I realized that, you know, we have this tremendous online potential to bring in these new Pacifica listeners, and you can see this in the logs, because they're not coming from a Pacifica site, they're coming from a search engine, and they're going back to the search engine, probably to look for another Nigeria page or another Che Guevara page or et cetera. And so, you know, here's where we have to hook them in, so that we can organize around that, and that's part of this. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
Jabari Zakia.
Pete, I have a few technical questions and also some conceptual things. What is the operating system based, and what do you use to serve web pages? Are you using Apache?
All right. I didn't want to get too technical, and I do want to be brief, but I do want to say, in a software and in a political angle, all the software used to build this site and this hosted is freeware.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Microsoft. It's, you know, it's open. And so for the folks you hear clapping and at home, or the technical folks, understand that this open source is the most stable. Not only is it free, but it's the most stable because it's perfected by the world. And so, yes, we do use Apache, and there have been some latent viruses known with Apache as of late, the last couple of weeks. But generally, Apache and Unix, which is what we use, is the standard online and is the most stable server setup you can have.
Also, and discussed it with Dan, I think we need to get a PayPal account on our system so people can come in and donate. PayPal is an online way that people can trade money, and that would be good above the fold, so if people want to, especially when things happen, people can say boom and give those $5-$10 or whatever. Also, email and security. I myself use my personal home account. My major home account is Hushmail, which is the internally secure email site. I think we need to create everything to be as secure as possible, because if we ever get to be the way we're supposed to be, you know, they're going to try to jam us. And you were talking about what your perception of what the person did, you know, you think it was intentional or whatever, it's incompetence. But we need to really incorporate that into everything. And also, just for the board, I think, just from listening to this, I think it's obvious that we really need to put more human resources into doing this correctly. One person can't do this, one person can't do this, and we need to create a network-wide protocol so that all of our webmasters and network administrators. First, we need to have webmasters at every station. We need to have network administrators, and those are two separate people, at every station. Then we need to have a conduit, as Pete was saying, okay, now you got this data. We need local and national development personnel that can synthesize the data and say, here goes where we're coming from. Here are some kind of marketing avenues that we can begin to exercise based predicated on where people are coming from. We might have marketing potential in France because people, you know, from France are hitting certain things more than here. And so what I'm just trying to say is based on what the potential that Pete is helping to unleash, we need to put more resources into actualizing that. And this is kind of some of the stuff that I'm going to talk about under my budget stuff. But I really appreciate it, and I'm going to talk to you a lot because we have I started a Pacifica Tech listserv, and I want to incorporate as many of the listeners out there who have all these skills. I want all of you all to be a part of this because you all have the ideas and you know how to do things, and you know, why pay other people when we got it right here? You know, that's the whole point. So thank you, Pete.
Okay, thank you, Pete.
Can I quickly answer Jabari real quick?
Yes, quick.
Yes.
Wait, no, we're really going to have to move
I want
on.
To answer Jabari. Yes. The answer is yes. We need more resources here. In addition, I do want to say about the e-commerce, just very quickly.
Quickly, yes.
I think the Pacifica Radio Archives website and our site and the sister sites are the connection here. I agree with you about getting donations. We do have a donate now. It's not PayPal. It's just a regular form. We do get regular email, meaning that when we have the National Day of Programming, they tend to shoot up, the donations do. But in between the National Day of Programming, we do get a trickling effect of donations here and there. PayPal, there's political reasons why we wouldn't want to use them. But nonetheless, it is interesting. In terms of e-commerce, very briefly, there's a lot of free information on the Internet. I know we have a financial problem here, but it's not, as a web worker, I do not want to advise that we go forward and try to maximize our profit on the Internet immediately. Information is free on the Internet right now. I think we should offer a tremendous amount of free information to compete with whatever's out there, and then when folks get hooked in, sure, they can buy the Pacifica Radio Archives products. We can maybe offer them low-grade MP3 files. These are some of the ideas we've been talking about. Offer MP3 files, low-quality streams to people for free, and then if they want to actually get a CD-quality stuff, they can pay $15 for it. I think that's a very reasonable breakdown there, something along those lines. So, yeah.
Okay. Good. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Pete. We are really running very, very late, and I'm hearing the voices on Monday yelling at us because we didn't deal with the bylaws. Right? So, folks, we've really got to keep moving along here.
Next on the agenda, a discussion about on-air editorials.
I know there's a lot of questions, and maybe over lunch people can talk to Pete some more or whatever. He's here for the weekend. So we're moving on to the on-air editorials and resolutions, which are in your packet. What I want to do, actually, there's a rewording on the Iraq one. So let me just pass that around. Let me start, though, with the death penalty one. And I just want to read it. Obviously, neither of these are very long. And remind people that in the Los Angeles meeting in March, we agreed to issue an editorial, to make an editorial statement against the death penalty. And then we kind of got lost in shuffle of the last few months, so that's where this is coming from. It's coming out of that decision. And this was language that I put together and circulated to the board before this meeting. I just want to read it. Obviously, it's an editorial, so it's not very long. So let me just read it, and there's one typo in it, so we'll catch that. This is the proposed language. That is, the Pacifica Foundation joins the growing opposition to killing in the name of law and order. We call for the abolition of the death penalty. Please, let me just finish it. It gets better. The death penalty is part of a criminal justice system that discriminates against poor people and people of color. 90% of those on death row could not afford to hire a lawyer when they were tried. The U.S. population is 20 to 25% people of color, yet 50% of the inmates on death row in state prisons are black and Latino. African Americans are 11% of the U.S. population, but two out of every three inmates on federal death row are black. The figures can be updated if I've got them wrong. The death penalty has been used to extinguish political dissent. The word dissent is missing from the text you have in front of you. From union organizer Joe Hill to Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. And now journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal faces execution in the state of Pennsylvania. The death penalty is used by candidates who want to appear, quote, tough on crime, while crime committed by the CEOs of major companies that poison, maim, and kill hundreds of thousands of poor and working people each year go unpunished. The death penalty is immoral. It stands in sharp contrast to our belief in the value of all human life. As a beginning, the Pacifica Foundation supports an immediate moratorium on all executions by state and federal order. But a moratorium is only the first step. The Pacifica Foundation calls for the complete repeal of the death penalty. For more information, and this ties right into the website, for more information about what you can do to help stop the death penalty, visit Pacifica's website at blah, blah, blah. So that's the proposed language at www.pacifica.org. So the idea would be that if we agree on this language or it needs to modify it some, that the it would be recorded by somebody, and we would mandate that all five stations carry this editorial, and it would be on the website with backup information and ideas about concrete things that people can do, maybe links to other organizations that do work on this issue, etc.
So moved.
I would like to add the increasing evidence that the use of DNA is showing that there's, uh-huh, there's a tremendous proportion of people on death row who actually are innocent, and that we should include that, add that to the ideas.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay, I made a note on that. Are there comments on this particular intro?
I second the motion.
Okay,
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Just one thing. Certainly this is great as a motion, because I like the language. But it does not in any way, and I suspect you were talking about the statistics, it doesn't talk about inmates who are not on death row, and that the percentage of especially minorities who are in prisons at all levels, including state, federal, and local, and the percentages at that level. So I'd like at some point, perhaps not necessarily in this motion, but in the statistics, that to be lifted up too.
Well, let me suggest that we maybe try and find language in a sentence or two that addresses that to integrate into this, but that we could also, in addition, do another editorial speaking to the criminal justice system or the criminal injustice system, you know, and to go into more depth. But let's see if we can find language to integrate that. But not right now. What I would suggest we would need to do is add the DNA language, add some language like that, and then circulate this by email. I don't want to wait till the next board meeting before we can get this going. If we can circulate...
Aren't we voting for this to be incorporated now?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Have exact language to do now.
I'm ready to go with it now.
You're ready to go with it now.
You said that the statistics supporting death penalty would be a part of this on our website.
Oh,
but
great. Right.
On our website. But, in fact, this is a great piece, and I support it. But I just wanted to make sure that we had the underlying discussion.
Okay, great.
As a part of the website page.
Desi?
Great. Yeah, well, obviously we better check the statistics to make sure they're all... I didn't totally make them up. I got them something. But we can double check and make sure they are the most up-to-date.
Nessie?
Carol, did you want to say something?
Nessie.
Okay, yes, James. Marion.
No,
Don't go there.
Oh, the levity continues.
I was tempted. He has a mustache and I don't. You referenced a little bit about the incompetent lawyers.
No. It's about the fact that that people couldn't afford lawyers.
Okay, well, there's a connection to it. Studies have shown that you had lawyers with no criminal defense background, with no death penalty background, who don't care about their clients. So it seems we ought to add language that we call upon the judges who appoint these lawyers to appoint more competent lawyers.
Okay, let me just ask the pleasure of the board here. If we want to add language, then what we're going to need to do is either authorize somebody to go ahead and add the language and not bring it back to the board for final approval, or we're going to have to set up a mechanism where language is added, and then, again, I suggest by email, fax, we get it to the board.
Why can't we do this? Why can't at lunchtime somebody do that, and then right after lunch we just adopt the language and go about our business?
Okay.
By the time it takes, we email back and forth. Too much.
I liked your first suggestion.
Wait a minute, Leslie. Oh. Is there any opposition on the board to call upon these judges to appoint more competent counsel?
No.
All right.
What I would like to suggest is Leslie's making notes on suggested additions, and we're not hearing any opposition to any of them. So I'd like to authorize somebody to go ahead and make the additions without it needing to come back to the board, because that's a 3-month delay. I think in March authorized this editorial. We've got it in September. There may be a few refinements, but I'd like to see it go. Does anybody object to that? Do we need to see it again?
Right. That's
Leslie, I think it's ready to go the way it is. And that if we need to have another editorial about the criminal injustice system, we could very well. But I think it's ready to go as it is. I mean, as a matter of fact, this stimulates us to bring in other concerns. But I think it's intact.
Okay, there's actually a motion on the table here that we adopt it as it was read.
There's a technical point involved here. I've just been reminded by Michael Pimentel that I believe that the case of Mumia has evolved where now maybe he's facing a life sentence rather than death penalty. I could check with the proper people.
I don't believe that's changed.
No. It's been turned down. No.
I believe he still is facing the death penalty. Yeah, still on death row. Okay, folks, the motion on the floor is that we adopt this as written.
There's been a second.
No. And there was a second to that. So can we call special?
Leslie, the motion was not to adopt as written, but to incorporate these new concepts and rewrite it.
Well, David made the motion.
I said so moved, and what I meant was based upon Leslie's statement that here's the text, and it will be checked and polished up a little bit. But I think that Leslie's done a great job, and I think that we should allow her to proceed. We have the principle here on paper. Let's move forward.
Okay.
Well, Dave, but we agreed, though, that there were several one concept by lawyers that James raised something, that the concept would be incorporated in new language.
Yes. Okay. Right. Am I hearing it, just for the record, so we're straight, that if we pass this motion, that I am willing to do this, that I would be allowed to make the adjustments in language without, and that then we could turn it over to the staff to actually produce it and distribute it to the stations, that we don't have to come back to the board for another okay as a final language. I got the notes of what people wanted in. Okay.
Splendid.
Leslie?
I just think...
Leslie. Right.
Okay, can we call questions?
One quick question.
Yes.
It seems to me that at the end of the editorial, we ought to call upon our listeners and readers of this on the website to do an action rather than just state it.
Yes, let me come to that in a second. That's why I refer people in here to the website, where we would obviously have a lot more room to refer them to other organizations, to a specific action. And instead of trying to identify all the actions that people could take in here, which would make the editorial a lot longer, and does potentially cross a legal bridge about what we can call for in an editorial. But referring folks to our website where there's more information about what they can do is the way to finesse that, to handle
okay.
that. So I think that, again, I'd like to not add specific actions to the editorial.
This is just a thought. I would rather, if we could possibly just have you maybe get the gist of what's going to be said and we hear it one more time. The last time we said, oh, let's just let it go. I don't want to have to come back and say, let's do this over again. I really don't.
Okay.
So I'd like to hear something closer to what's going to be printed or whatever before we say okay.
Okay. Obviously, there's not going to be time this weekend to check the facts, because I'm not going to have the time to do that. On adding the DNA, on the judges' need to appoint that counsel, you know, on the other issues raised, I will do that somehow this weekend. Before the end of the weekend, I will come back and just run it by people to make sure we agree on text.
So,
okay? But we can pass it now.
At the end of this session, we will be finished with this?
Yes.
Okay.
And then production can begin. Okay, yeah. Verna? Okay, great, great. So Verna just offered to help with fact-checking, and, you know, we can... So can we call a question on this?
One quick question.
Yeah.
There's no directive to the station as to how many times they are on this during a 24-hour
right.
period.
Let's finish this and then the other editorial and then speak to that question
okay.
about directive or mandate to the stations. Okay, call the question. Should we take a roll call vote on this or a show of hands?
Show of hands.
Okay, all those in favor, please raise your hand. And any opposition? No, it's unanimous. Thank you. Now, the second editorial that I want to propose is on us taking a stand in opposition to the war against Iraq. In your packet, I circulated a proposed text, and then, of course, you know, a few days later, the situation changed. You know, it's an unfolding situation. So I did some slight changes on the text, which I just handed out to you now, but let me read it again. Again, it's fairly short. The drumbeats of war are once again being heard from the nation's capital. As the Bush administration makes its case for war against Iraq, the Pentagon maps out its military options. While a few members of Congress, the only body that has the constitutional right to declare war, raise their voices in opposition to Bush's plans, most are either eerily silent on this most pressing matter or lining up to support all-out war. A new war against Iraq could lead to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Iraqi children, women, and men, compounding the devastation that more of a decade of sanctions prohibiting access to medicine and other essentials has already wrought. A new war against Iraq could cost upwards of $8 billion. Our government already spends $5 million each day for military actions and economic warfare against the people of Iraq. Governments and non-governmental organizations around the world have urged the Bush administration to change its course to stop its planning for war. Throughout the United States, each day more people express their opposition to this war. We join this growing movement. The Pacifica Foundation calls for a peaceful, negotiated resolution of any conflicts between our country and Iraq. We urge our government to work through the structures of international law and to base foreign policy decisions on respect for the sovereign rights of all nations. Before it is too late, we call for action, action to stop the drive toward war. Make your voice heard today. For suggestions on steps you can take to help stop this war, visit Pacifica's website at www.pacifica.org. Let us work together to stop this war before it starts. So, Jabari.
Just being, you know, the government last week said that it would probably cost between $100 billion and $200 billion. So,
okay, so yeah, we should fix it.
So, yeah, that's a big difference.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept it?
I move to...
Madam Chair, can I speak to the issue?
Yes.
There's a call to action, and it's to contact whatever that is, but to contact our website.
Right.
Could we also direct it to the proponents of this war effort, the White House? We can do that, can't we?
Well, I actually, after I circulated this stuff by email to folks, Carol suggested that I just run it by our FCC lawyer, both of these, which I did. And actually, I have right here with me a memo that he sent. You'll see on the top it's Teresa Allen, because it came right before I came down here, so I forwarded it to Teresa so she could print it out. But it's a memo from John Kriegler. I sent him the text of both of these things to see if they were legal. And particularly I was concerned about what could we call for in terms of actions for people to take. And, you know, his comments basically say that these are, as far as he's concerned reading them, that they are, he says, although I do not believe that these editories are unlawful, they may precipitate an attack on Pacifica. And he goes on to say he could anticipate in three fronts. One, the FCC. Let me just read this real quickly so everyone can hear it. As we discussed in a prior email, the Communications Act once contained a provision that barred CBB-funded stations from airing editorials. That provision was, with Pacifica's help, struck down as unconstitutional. Despite this decision, listeners aren't used to hearing editorials on non-commercial stations, and your editorials may draw complaints to the Pacifica stations and the FCC. If that happens, I suggest drafting a short, standardized response that all stations could use. It would explain that Pacifica is exercising First Amendment rights it established and that may now be exercised by all newspapers and other broadcast stations, including non-commercial stations. The second possible attack that might come our way is from the...
CPB.
It says PCB, but it should be CPB. Right. The editorials could stimulate the old effort to defund Pacifica. One basis for that might be that CPB funds may be used only to fund programs that adhere to the goals of, quote, objectivity and balance. Rather than enter that quagmire and defend the objectivity and balance, I would be prepared to show that no CPB funds were used to produce the editorials. The third potential area of attack, which actually speaks to what the point that James was raising, was from the IRS. The IRS rules prohibit 501c3 organizations, which we are, from devoting a, quote, substantial portion of their revenues to grassroots lobbying and bar them from supporting or opposing specific political candidates. These editorials comply with those restrictions by addressing general issues rather than particular candidates or specific pieces of legislation. The call to action at the conclusion of the Iraq editorial seems to walk the same line. The suggestions you post on the Pacifica website should do the same. And we have to explore that and figure that out more, I think. There seems to be a word missing.
So there. I'm sorry to have to interrupt, but there are a number of people calling and asking about the programming today. This is WVAI 99.5 FM. It is 11:58, and we have a number of programs preempted today and over the weekend to bring you the National Pacifica Board meeting from Houston, Texas. The broadcast will go until 7 p.m. this evening, and tomorrow from, I believe, 10 a.m. till 3 p.m. So we will have the following programs preempted. We had On the Count preempted. That's Eddie Ellis, Jazz, and I.O. Harrington back next week. Al Lewis Live, 12 noon till 1:30 p.m. back next week. And the Radio Free Aaron program back again next week. The Prison Shout-Out Line you can catch Monday morning at 5:55 a.m. And Peter Boshin, 5 to 7 p.m., will be back next week. 3 to 5 has been up in the air slot. So they'll be new next week. Again, this is the broadcast of the... Here we go. The broadcast of the Pacifica National Board Meeting.
KPFW in Washington, D.C. KPFK in Los Angeles. KPFA and KPFB in Berkeley. And KFCF Fresno. Broadcast of...